Will you turn with me, please, to the chapter we read in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26. And the Lord would help us, might consider together verses 3 and 4. We'll read from the beginning. In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates. The righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Especially these words. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Songs are very powerful things. They have great influence. I'm sure you can remember songs that you learned when you were very young. Perhaps songs that you sang when you were a teenager. And songs always seem to linger with us. And they have a subtle influence. And that's why you and I should always be careful about what we listen to, and especially what songs we listen to. Because they tend to stick very easily in the mind. And they may be wholesome, the words, or they may be very unwholesome. And you and I, whenever we listen to music, and especially the young folk, but the older people as well, you should stop and ask yourself, what is the message contained in this song? Is it good? Is it wholesome? Is it something that is truth? Or is it something which is wrong and in rebellion against God? Songs are powerful. And therefore we should always be careful about what we listen to when we listen to songs. That's true especially of spiritual songs. Because not all spiritual songs are biblically accurate. And sometimes we can imbibe, we can take on board wrong ideas because we have listened to songs of praise, some of which express sentiments which aren't strictly speaking biblical. Maybe wrong theology. Or it may be wrong expressions of Christian experience which aren't actually biblical and helpful. Well, we have a song here. We find it's contained in a section of Isaiah which gives a number of songs. And here there is are promises given to God's people that though they were going to go into captivity, they will return. Jerusalem was going to be restored, although it was first of all to be decimated. And their enemies, and we read of some of them, Moab is singled out as an example, someone who was closely related to Israel, the Moabites, the descendants of Lot, and yet how they were opposed bitterly to the Jews, to God's people. And how the Lord was going to come in judgment upon them and upon their cities. And how their cities would be trodden down and only be fit for the dunghill. And yet God was going to restore the city of God. It would be a strong city, but really, the strong city wasn't an earthly Jerusalem. We know that later on it was devastated. The strong city was rather the city of God, was rather speaking of the church of God and salvation through God. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Never open the gates of the righteous nation which keepeth the truth. We enter in. Isaiah gives them this song. And in this song he's reminding them, look, if you are found trusting in the Lord, if you are fleeing to him for help and refuge and calling upon him, you have no need to fear. And why have they no need to fear? As individuals. Why is the church no need to fear about those who oppose her? Is it because they're strong in themselves? Not at all. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. In other words, God is defending her. God is like a wall of fire, a great battlement round about her to protect her. Our God, as we sang of in Psalm 48, is in the middle of her. He's there. He's present. He's her refuge. He's her strength. And therefore, in the middle of all the troubles of life, we're encouraged to look to him and to seek comfort and peace in him. And what we're told is this: thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, is resting on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What's the advice then? Trust ye in the Lord forever, but in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting peace, strength. Here then is a promise of peace. Let's look at this promise. What a wonderful promise. Surely something that each one of us should want to share in. Perhaps tonight your heart, your lives are in turmoil and you are conscious of the need. You seek for peace. Well, where is peace to be found? Where at all times is peace to be found? In the Lord Jehovah. Let's notice three things. The nature of this perfect peace, the giver of perfect peace, and thirdly, the enjoyment of perfect peace. First of all, there's the nature of perfect peace. What's he speaking of when he talks about people being kept in perfect peace? Well, we can think, first of all, of peace from outer conflict. Think of the Jews. There's mention here of a city. They would naturally think of a city, perhaps of Jerusalem itself. And what their hope is that the city would not be subject to attack from outside forces. A city would remain secure, it would be impregnable from forces that would ruin her or harm her. Well, what's the greatest threat that they were liable to suffer from? It wasn't the great superpowers of the day, though often they threatened. The greatest threat was the judgment of God, of God bringing his judgment. And therefore, here's the greatest blessing then, to have peace with God. Because if they're at peace with God and they're at one with God, they know that they are secure. Friend, what is the greatest threat that you face? The greatest threat you face is not some horrible disease that we often hear about. Diseases which often kill people. It is the judgment of God. And to find yourself with God against you. God calling for your condemnation because you have sinned against him. And therefore, surely, this blessing of perfect peace includes the idea of peace
with God?
Friend, have you sought peace with God? And have you discovered the place where peace with God is to be found? Where you can be reconciled to God? Where is it to be found? Is it not to be found in Jesus Christ? What do we read in 2 Corinthians 5? God was in Christ. He was at work in Christ, through Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. There is Christ coming into the world. He is our peace. He is the one who makes peace between God and man. He is the one who deals with sin. So that for the person who is trusting in him, it can be, God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, your sins as a thick cloud, and I will remember your sin no more. Peace with God. Have you found that, friend? Have you agreed with God's way of peace through his death, through the death of Christ on the cross? And have you discovered peace with God, so that no longer he is against you as an enemy, but he is now your friend? Have you been justified through faith? If you have been, you have peace with God. And you have a permanent peace with God. Because God has declared you righteous because he has imputed to you the righteousness of Christ. But you're found trusting in him. And therefore the law of God has no claims against you to condemn you if you're trusting in Christ and one with him. Because he is the one who dealt with your sin. And he is the one who fulfilled that law of God on your behalf. Peace. Have you discovered peace? What a wonderful thing. To close with Christ as he is offered in the gospel. And to find that instead of that feeling of being threatened by God because I am his enemy, because I have sinned against him, now I'm at peace with him. Because I've found that way of peace. And I've embraced that way of peace. And I know I stand before God in Christ, depending on him. Perfect peace. Well, what more wonderful peace could there be than to be at peace with God through Jesus Christ? And you see, for those who have come to trust in him, it's not just that God has somehow been pacified and his anger has been quenched, as it were, through what Christ has done. God's people have access into his presence. They're adopted into the family of God. They're made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In other words, this peace is a reality. Instead of God being and counting us as enemies and him having a controversy with us, there's a state of peace, a state of friendship, a state of harmony. We can draw near to God and know his blessing. Well, what a wonderful peace. If you know that peace tonight, friend, give thanks to God that he has given you that peace through Jesus Christ. Peace from outer conflict. No doubt for the Jews, they could see there were many enemies who could attack. And yet surely this promise spoke to them of the fact that he would be kept safe and secure as he trusted in the Lord. Is that not also included in this promise of peace? Many seek to harm God's people. There are those today who persecute believers. The devil seeks to destroy those who love the Lord. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might destroy.
there's a promise of perfect peace, that the Lord will keep his people secure. Because greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. He's a good shepherd who gives his sheep life, and they shall never perish. No one can pluck them out of his hand. They're secure. They've got peace. And the church is secure. The church is at peace. Ultimately, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In other words, whether it's the church as a body, or God's people as individuals, they can have confidence that whatever happens in this world, nothing will harm them. Nothing ultimately will harm them. All will be to their good and for the glory of God and for the good of his cause. Well, when you think of it that way, isn't that a reason to feel at peace in the trials and the troubles of life? Peace from outer conflict. So there's always an indication here of peace from internal strife. If you think of a city, there might not be anyone who's threatening, but there might not be peace in the city. Indeed, couldn't you say that in many ways, in our own nation, we're not being attacked by any outside forces. But if you go into certain parts of our cities, in our land, then you certainly wouldn't feel at peace and secure. You would feel threatened. And you are conscious that there are groups of people against other people. A city can only be at true peace if the inhabitants are living in harmony. Well, does this not imply that for those who are within God's city, they find themselves at peace with one another? Dear believer, is that not true? You love the brethren, and you want to live at peace with the brethren. And you seek to deal with any problems that arise between you. Perhaps there were things before you were converted, and you were against one another, but when grace came into your life, you dealt with those problems, and you continue to seek to deal with those problems, that you might live peaceably. Wasn't it Christ's prayer that they might be one as we are one? Friend, are you striving to live peaceably? Don't be content to be at this peace with God's people. Here's a promise of peace and a reminder that God's people are at peace and should be at peace with one another. Can we also say that it speaks of peace from all anxieties and cares? Perfect peace. The word peace is repeated in the original. And the word peace means more than just the absence of strife. To the Jew, if he greeted a fellow Jew, he would say, "Peace be upon you." It's perhaps our way of saying every blessing. That's really what it means. Perfect peace. Blessings, blessings. A sense of completeness, a sense of wholeness, a sense of prosperity. Every and all blessings. Think of how many things would rob you daily from that sense of peace. Give you anxiety, give you troubles, cause you to have fears and difficulties. But what's God's promise here? He's speaking of perfect peace and keeping people in perfect peace. In other words, what he's really saying is this: that he shall supply every need of his people, every blessing that they need, he shall give. Isn't that why Paul could write to the Philippians? Don't be anxious about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall fill your heart and souls in Christ Jesus. Pray, cast your cares, your anxieties upon Him. He will give you peace. How can that be? Well, my God is able to supply all your needs. He's able to deal with these things. He is the one who gives perfect peace. And you see, as you and I have confidence in Him, we can learn, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, to be content. Do you want contentment? Seek that contentment, which is to be found in the perfect peace that God gives. There's true contentment. Lasting contentment is to be found in the gospel. And it says, you and I trust Him. We can know that contentment. Your life may be full of problems, full of difficulties, full of worries. Things may be going well with you, or things may just be like a roller coaster. You're up and down, and it's one trial after another, and you wonder how you're going to cope. But as you remember, He is the giver of perfect peace. That He promises to supply all your needs. That He keeps His people with every blessing. You can learn to see. I have learned in whatever state I am in, whether things are good or bad, to be content. Because I have God. And He is mine. And He is my shepherd. And therefore I shall not want. He will do all things for my good. He has promised never to leave me nor forsake. And therefore, I have peace. Well, notice secondly, the giver of this perfect peace. Why is it called perfect peace? How can there be this perfect peace? Well, it comes from a wonderful source. There only is perfect peace because of the giver. It's not man, it's God. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You and I here are pointed to God, and we're reminded, would we have peace? Well, we're to seek that peace in God alone. Who is He? Well, you'll notice He's described as the covenant God. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. To the Jews, the name Lord in capitals, Jehovah, was a precious name. That spoke of the fact that God was the God of the covenant. God was a God who had promised to be their God. He had come and said, I will be thy God, and thou shalt be my people. What are all those blessings which come to the church? Are they not covenant blessings? Are they not the blessings of the new covenant promised in Jesus Christ? And therefore, if you're in Christ, God is your God. This covenant God is your God. And you are blessed with the blessings of the covenant. And is He not a covenant-keeping God? Is He not one who is faithful to His promises? Will He not keep His promises? The covenant God gives peace. Think of David at the end of his life. He's surveying his life. And he can see that his household haven't exactly turned out the way he would want them to. Some are godly, some have been ungodly. There's been murder and all sorts of things within the household. And what does he see? Well, though my house hasn't prospered as I would want it to have done, God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is my salvation and all my desire, though he does not make my house to grow. What's he saying? He's saying, well, God is the God of the covenant. And because he is my God, who has entered into covenant with me, I can have peace, even when things don't seem to be working out very well. Remember who God is, the faithful God of the promises. Has he promised to give peace? He'll give peace. And therefore, you can have peace. He's also the loving God. Jehovah. You find the word Jehovah is often linked in with the word loving kindness, speaking of God's mercy and grace. You see, why is God a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God? Why did God provide that way of salvation which we know of as the covenant of grace? It's because he is the God who is gracious. It's because of his love. It was the love of God which led him to give his son, to propose him to be the Savior, and to provide him as the Savior, and to give him to die on the cross, to deal with the sins of his people that they might be at peace with him. Well, is God the loving God? Do you believe it as he loved you with an everlasting love? Will he not continue to love? And does not his love ensure that he will fulfill his promises, that he will seek the good of all those who trust in him? And that he will keep them in peace and watch over them through life and bring them to glory, to heaven itself. As you remember that he is the God of the covenant, as you remember that he is the loving God, you can see he is the God who gives peace and who will maintain that peace. You'll notice he's also the Almighty God. We read, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Can he really give perfect and lasting peace? Yes, why? Because he is the faithful, loving, almighty God. Literally, he is the rock of ages. A rock, speaking of strength. Speaking of something that will not move. He is the one whose strength is never exhausted. You see, God is sovereign over all. He's the Almighty God. And therefore, he is able to protect us, able to keep us, able to provide for us. We can place our confidence in him and know that it is well grounded. You and I quickly lose strength and find ourselves in situations that we can't cope with. But never the Lord. Moab, when it was knowing God's judgments, well, they ended up like a swimmer trying to swim away. Relying on their own strength. What happened? They failed. And they were destroyed. But God keeps those who trust in him. He keeps them in peace. He keeps them secure because he's able to. He is the Almighty One. You'll notice he's also the Eternal God because we read of everlasting strength. And therefore, if his strength goes on, that reminds us that he is the God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. The one who never changes in any way. the one who is like the rock, it's durable, it lasts. And therefore, he is their refuge. And we're told, trust ye in the Lord forever. In other words, you and I trust him. We're trusting in one who is unchanging and who is always worthy of our confidence and who can give a peace that lasts. The giver of peace, God. Would you enjoy peace then? You're to look to him and to seek peace in him. And so let's notice thirdly the enjoyment of perfect peace. The enjoyment of perfect peace. How can you and I actually enjoy and experience the sense of peace that Christ, that God gives, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee? In other words, would you know this peace? A peace which speaks of God, your friend, and not an enemy who's against you because of your rebellion and sin. A God who overrules all things so they are blessings and for your good. A God who enables you to be at peace with others. The God who promises at the end of the day everything will work for your good and be a blessing to you. Ultimately. Well, you'll notice it's only the believer can experience this peace. You see, not everyone's at peace. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee. So it's the person who's trusting in him. You see, there's a false peace. The prophet could say, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God's against them. They might feel, well, I'm secure. I'm not worried about my soul and what's going to happen. Well, they may not be worried, but they should be worried. Friend, today you may not be that bothered and worried about the state of your soul and your eternal destiny. You should be if you're outside of Christ. Because God is against you. And the day will come when you realize that, God forbid, that it should be when you are brought before his judgment seat. Oh, that you would discover that now and seek him now. There's a false peace. There are many false hopes that are dashed. But you see, the believer is one who experiences true peace. The one who is trusting in him. Whose mind is stayed, is resting on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In other words, the emphasis is on faith in Jesus Christ. Then are you trusting in him? Then you've got this right to a promise of perfect peace. That the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. Are you part of this righteous nation which keep the truth? Do you love the truth? Do you love God's law? It's not that you look to holiness as that which will save you. You know you cannot atone for your sins. You cannot make up for them. But you've come to hate sin and love holiness. And you want to keep the truth. Are you trusting in him? Well, notice only the believer can experience this peace. But perhaps you're here tonight and you can say, well, I'm trusting in the Lord. I fled to him for refuge, and I'm still full of cares and anxieties and worries and fears about different things. Well, remember this, friend. It's only as you trust him and obey him, you will enjoy and experience peace. It's as you trust him and obey him, you will enjoy and experience peace. You see, a person can be at peace and not enjoy or feel that they're at peace.
Think of a war situation. Two nations against one another. Peace is declared. They no longer are against one another. That doesn't necessarily mean that everyone feels secure. Indeed, weren't there stories of people who, many years after the close of the Second World War, they didn't realize that hostilities had ended. They still thought they were in combat duties, certain people in perhaps jungle areas out in the Far East. It was news to them. Peace. There was no war. Peace was declared, but they didn't experience, they didn't feel it, peace. Sometimes people can have peace. There may be those here tonight who truly are resting in Christ, but they sometimes wonder, am I really resting in Christ? And they feel that they wonder if they've got a right to hope in the promises of God, that they are theirs, that they are trusting in Him. Because they sometimes wonder, am I really trusting? Well, how can you experience peace? It is as your mind is stayed in Him, as you are trusting in Him. It's as you lean upon Him and His promises and believe His promises. His mind has stayed in thee because He trusteth in thee. Here's a picture of people always trusting. That's their frame of mind. Think of those believers, you know, who seem to be calm and trusted in the Lord all the time. Isn't it wonderful to see people like that? Full of faith. Well, he's saying, would you enjoy this perfect peace? It's as you lean upon Him. It's as you believe the promises. It is as you are actively trusting in Him in every situation. Then you'll experience peace. And yes, going along with that, there is that keeping of the truth. If you're a believer and you're being a bit careless in your life and you're allowing sin and perhaps worldly ways into your life, and you'll not know that peace that you once knew. Because to keep the truth is to live a life in accordance with the truth. It's to live a holy life. You see, it's only as you walk in the light as He is in the light that you will know His presence and His peace and a sense of His forgiveness. Well, perfect peace. Are you enjoying perfect peace? At least sometimes. Give thanks. And seek to rely upon the Lord more, that you might experience more of that peace that comes through Jesus Christ. And if you would have peace, and if you would have contentment, realize that the only place of safety is to be part of that righteous nation that keeps the truth. Only they are allowed into the city where there is peace, where there are the blessings of salvation, where God is like the bulwarks, the wall of defense, the place of security. It's only as you're a penitent sinner, trusting in the Lord, that you will find peace with God. And therefore peace in all the circumstances of life. What should you do? Surely you want such a peace. Surely you want to be at peace with God. Surely you want to have peace in all the trials and troubles of life. Well, surely this is what you should do. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let your trust be there and nowhere else, because peace is only to be found in Him. Let us pray.